Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. We are live right here, Bucks Life Media, of course, and always on FanStreamSports.com, where you can check out most of our content. This is Set the Sails. I, of course, am James Ludeman. Welcome to the show. We are glad to be with you, just as we are every Monday night. Of course, join with me right here in the middle of the sandwich here, I guess, is James Britt Buck Wilson. Mr. Britt Buck, how are we hanging in this morning? Or this evening, whatever. I don't even know what
time. This evening. What time zone have you slipped into there, Mr. Lederman?
I have no idea.
Do you know what? I'm absolutely loving this, like, the theme song. It's making me want to, like, set the sails and, like, swab the decks.
I think that's the point.
all sorts of pirate-related antics.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Our special guest right here joining us. And by the way, he's joining us via Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter for the first time tonight, by the way. Mr. Zach Blondner, he is one of the hosts on 95.3 WDAE in Tampa Bay and also at 96.9 The Game, which is out of Orlando, I believe. And he does a lot of great stuff with WDAE. Joining us as a guest, Z-Man. What's going on with you?
What's up, gents? Happy to be aboard, and I'm glad to get this ship on the water. I was going to say show on the road. I was thinking of, like, how you transfer that to a ship on the water. That feels right. So happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you, man. Welcome to the ship. That's right. And if you're watching, of course, feel free to comment. If you have a question for Zach while he's with us, and obviously he has a very early schedule because he is a part of the Ronnie and T-Crash show on WDAE from 6 to 9 a.m. You can catch that show on there. And Zach also is a big part of that show as well, obviously. So he will be with us for a short time, and that's okay because he has to go to bed, I guess. We talked about this before the show. We call it stupid early, and I don't envy you on that at all.
I would have never, like, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, even if I would have ever seen myself in a morning show type of role, you know, where I was waking up at, you know, 3-4 a.m. and I was going to bed at 8, 8:30, 9 o'clock at the latest, I would have called you crazy, you know.
That's a nighttime hour. It's like,
yep.
Like, if you see 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, it's because you've been up to no good. You've been having such a late night, you've been up to no good.
You turn back over and you're like, no, I'm out. I'm going back for a couple more hours.
It's not ideal, but, you know, we have fun, and I'd like to say you get used to it. You don't really get used to it. You just adjust. You learn how to live with it.
True. Well, and if you do have a question for Zach while he is with us, you can use the hashtag AskZman. We're going to use that hashtag tonight. And while he's here, he'll answer as many questions as we can. We'll put some on. We have some questions for him as well. And we're going to start out with, of course, the big news of the end of last weekend. On Thursday night, the NFL schedule was released for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We
did do a show about that, which you can also look back on FanStream Sports as well as Podbean and everywhere else. But in addition to that, shameless plug, Zach, tell me what you think about the schedule. I feel like it's a little bit, we've talked about this a little bit, maybe easier, but still has its challenges throughout the schedule. So what was your reaction to the schedule dropping?
Well, we knew that it wasn't going to be quite as difficult, at least from the beginning on, looking forward, as last year's, right? Last year, there was such a stretch of just mayhem where the team was away from Raymond James Stadium. And then 2 years ago, you know, you had the really rough start as far as Murderers Row with the opponents. So this year I'm happy with it. You know, I think even the primetime games where you see that meaty part of the schedule and you're like, wow, they're going to be traveling here, then back, and it's all going to be late night plane flights. And you wonder if they can kind of adjust with it. And I feel pretty good about it. Again, comparatively, look, I don't love starting out against the Saints. Like, I would like for that to not happen. But I think that there's a good case to be made that maybe, you know, New Orleans isn't bumping like it usually is. If fans aren't allowed inside, if week one is kind of quieter than what it usually looks like on Bourbon Street out there, that could be a blessing in disguise. And we knew they were going to get a week one big opponent, right? We didn't know it was necessarily going to be the Saints. We thought it could have been any kind of amount of different of their stronger opponents on the schedule for sure. But we'll see. The problem is if they beat New Orleans week one, everybody's going to be like, okay, they're winning the Super Bowl. If they lose to New Orleans week one, everyone's going to be like, well, the division's out of hand. We're not going to see them, you know, win the NFC South. And week one is such a crapshoot, yeah, no matter what happens. I mean, we all know Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Fitz magic, stepped in, you know, and made it and lit him up there not too long ago. Mm-hmm. So you can never put too much stock in week one for better or worse. You got to love the primetime games. And then the one thing I've been hanging my hat on with the schedule release is the fact that you end your stretch coming off of a bye week, right? And then you have Minnesota, which is a really good team, but you have 2 weeks to prepare for them. And it's at Raymond James Stadium. Then you finish with Atlanta, Detroit, Atlanta. And sometimes teams are better than you anticipate. Certainly sometimes teams are worse. But as far as looking at the schedule on paper, coming off a bye, getting Minnesota at home, and then Atlanta, Detroit, Atlanta, if the Bucs have to make a late push to get into the playoffs, I feel good about that schedule.
Yeah, and I think you phrased it really, really well, actually, when talking about the week one opponent, especially seeing as we know that all Buccaneers fans, we're a level-headed bunch, and we take things in a straight, a week one defeat isn't going to, who am I kidding, we're going to go nuts. and just a couple of things, obviously, like seeing Donnie there, the Facebook comments. Now, obviously, Donnie has been in communication with me regarding, like, in the background, because one of our other sponsors here that sort of snuck under the radar is, of course, hashtag the Jersey Wave. Obviously, my co-host sporting a very, very beautiful pewter jersey to my right, I think.
Direction. North, south, somewhere. He's close.
I'm over here. Hang about. He's to my right. He's to my right. There we go. So obviously a lot of people hearing good things about. So, you know, if you are looking for a jersey, try out hashtag the Jersey Wave. Really, really good quality. Obviously, James, Mr. Ludeman, and a couple of other people really who sort of swear by the quality of their jerseys and the price as well. Now, let's come back to, oh, Donnie, I do love that. So 1914 win. I was kind of hoping, Donnie, you know what? I swear he isn't actually in on this. He isn't a plant on the audience. So is that one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, obviously the schedule, when it first was sort of revealed who we were going to be playing, not necessarily when, a lot of fans were down in the dumps between sort of 6-10, 7-9, maybe 8-8. Not a lot of people were predicting anything good from the season. Now, of course, and you might well have seen a new power ranking has been released with the Bucs in its second. How do you feel about the actual like hype that's going on around the Bucs? All of a sudden now, for bringing on one or two players, suddenly they're contenders.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make the argument for a lot of teams to put them in the top five power rankings, right? It just depends on how you phrase it. I mean, if you want to lean on the fact that the Bucs defense was very young last year and was only improving towards the latter half of the season, you know, you throw in the kicking game. It was a rookie in Matt Gay. He should technically be better in year two. Technically, we'll see. And then you upgrade at the quarterback position from Jameis to Tom Brady, at least for 2020's sake. You add Gronkowski, even if he only adds a smidge, a little bit, that's still more than you would have had without him because they kept OJ and Cameron Brate. And then you suspect that Tom Brady, doing what he's done in the last few years. We won't even look back to when he was in his prime or coming up in the league, but just the last few years with really no weapons. You know, he looked good the game that they had Antonio Brown against Miami early in the season. That only lasted 1 week. We've seen flashes with him and Josh Gordon when Gordon was playing and had his head in the game. And then, you know, Edelman's a fun piece, but he's not Mike Evans. He's not Chris Godwin. And you expect that Tom Brady with those guys should be able to win a lot of games. Now, all that being said, and you can make that argument, you can feel good about it, and you can say, yeah, 9, 10, 11 wins, why not? But you can also look at the other side, and this is where I start to get a little worried, guys, is if this was a normal offseason and a normal year where Brady could get in and get working with these guys, I'd feel fantastic. I'd say, you know what? They're going to come out, they're going to kick ass, and we're going to all have a great time in Tampa Bay. I don't think you can hang your hat on that, though, and say that's a surefire bet, because even though Tom Brady did kind of sneak into Byron Leftwich's house for, you know, just a few seconds or whatever it was, but we know he hasn't been working extensively, like, out on the playbook with his teammates, with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and the other guys. So that's going to hurt them early in the season, and that's why, again, no matter what happens in week one, and honestly those first few weeks, you can't overreact, because if this team is good, we're not going to know it until the second half of the season, just based on chemistry alone. I keep bringing up the LeBron James to Miami Heat comparison. When he got down there and lined up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, they weren't kicking ass right away. It took them a little time. So, you know, and there's other examples. Rarely do guys get together, even if they're a super team, and click so quickly. In this pandemic, you know, the most they can do is chat a little bit here, learn their playbook, and then just try to get going as soon as possible when they are allowed to practice together. You know, Bruce Arians saying that he'll work with Brady a little bit on the playbook and not just go full on, this is Bruce Arians, this is my offense, and kind of be able to give a little bit as far as where Brady wants to modify some things. That makes me feel a little bit better, but I'm just saying, temper your expectations, especially again early on.
Yeah, we're talking to Zach Blomner from 95.3 WDAE joining us right now, and make sure you check those guys out on 6 a.m. the Ronnie and T-Crash show. I heard T-Crass is on a mandatory vacation.
Yeah,
I don't know how to feel about that. Yeah, I feel like
Ronnie had 5 days.
Yeah, Ronnie had something to do with that. I feel like, I don't know, maybe. Met both those guys before. They're really cool. Let me ask you this question, because you brought up a very good point about week one. We had a poll on our Twitter page. If you're watching us on Twitter, you can find us there. On Twitter, @set_sales, and you can find us there. But I wanted to ask you this question, because you brought up a good point about chemistry. In week one, they go right into New Orleans. Now, do you think, and obviously the NFL has made it pretty clear that they're going to proceed as scheduled as far as playing the regular season without any type of downtime as far as the virus and things like that are concerned. Do you think that the NFL is going to move forward, even if it's without fans at this point? Because I think we're starting to see, especially with what happened with Major League Baseball today, talking about July 4th weekend, moving on without fans. Is that just kind of what's going to be the reality for the next maybe year or less?
Well, I mean, here's the first thing with football and with, you know, college and the pros with the fall sports, they have the luxury of time, right? Like, baseball should have already been playing. They have to get their asses on the field if they want to have a season. The NBA and the NHL, if they want to finish their season and have their playoffs, they got to get going. And that's including, you know, practice time. That's including event time. I mean, they can't just green light these sports and then play immediately. You got to build it up again through practice, spring training, if it's baseball, whatever the case may be. Football is, again, able to wait right now. So, like, for me, if I'm in a league office role where Goodell's asking for advice, which he wouldn't, because that'd be crazy to ask me, Zach Blobner, for advice. But if he was, I would first point out the fact that we already argue preseason's too long and you don't really need it. I know that Jags head coach Doug Marrone had already said that the Jags plan to cross practice with the Bucks, you know, heading up to their week two preseason matchup. So the first thing I'm doing is saying, look, we're going to shorten the preseason. We'll line up some, you know, cross practices with teams where they would have maybe been playing each other. We'll keep it logistical. That also helps you lessen the case of making your, you know, health wise, make it worse within the sport leading up in that August month, in that early September. Mm-hmm. So that would be the first way I'd approach it, because the contingency plan of saying, well, if we can't play, we'll move the first two games, weeks one and two, to the end of the schedule. And then if we can't play week three, we'll just erase week three and four altogether, which for the Bucks is Denver and the Chargers in Mile High City and then at Raymond James Stadium. So those are the two games that could possibly be erased. Again, though, like if you're thinking about contingency plans, give yourself as much breathing room as possible. And although the schedule right now, calendar-wise, in a full 12-month year is working in their favor, you still want to give yourself even more breathing room if it's easy to do. And I believe by canceling preseason games now and getting out ahead of it, you could do that. Now, as far as fans being in the stands, we've seen a plan in place, at least for Miami. I haven't looked more into the other stadiums and teams, but I know the Dolphins have put something out there where they're expecting to have maybe 15,000 fans, get approval from certain medical branches that say, hey, they're good to go. Their policies and what they're doing there are working. We trust them. I think that in some capacity, you are going to have fans in the stands. Again, that's speculation. That's just based on my gut feeling. But there's nowhere going to be near the capacity that these stadiums would typically see. But you could see it maybe roll up, right? Maybe the beginning of the year, maybe in New Orleans, you do a quarter of the fans. Maybe by week 7, it's half the fans. Maybe by week 15, it's 75% of the fans. And as you ramp up for the playoffs, you say, you know what? We're good. Open it up to everybody. Could go the other way too. But again, it's all speculation at this point.
So we do have a quick question here before we get to our last question from Donnie. Donnie asked a question for Zach. Who is our best option for a backup quarterback? That's an interesting question because Tom Brady, look, he's not 32 anymore. He's 43. So, and again, he keeps himself. That's what I'm saying. He keeps himself in very good physical condition. I know he does a lot of hard work on that. But who's? I mean, I know they have Blaine Gabbert. They have Ryan, whatever his name is, Ryan Griffin as well. Yeah. Also, I almost called him Ryan Fitzpatrick for a minute.
Ryan Griffin, Fitzmagic.
Bring him back. So who's the best option for backup here real quick?
As far as – and this is – I get into arguments a lot about this because the backup quarterback role is – it depends on how you look at it. Is your backup quarterback the quarterback of the future and a guy that you're grooming? Is your backup quarterback another solid option to win? Or in the Bucs case with Blaine Gabbert, is your backup quarterback a guy that's going to help a new quarterback learn the system faster, have somebody he can lean on in situations where like maybe Bruce isn't – explaining in a way, or Byron's busy with the running backs, or who knows, he can lean on Blaine Gabbert and he meaning Tom Brady and be like, hey, what's up with this? What is Bruce's terminology here? What receiver should I look for here? Because it's so complex an area and scheme that you need every guy you can get that knows about it and that can help you kind of work through it. So in the Bucs case, you know, Blaine Gabbert basically works as another voice in the quarterback room. You don't expect him to be able to step onto the field and necessarily win games, but he does know the system, and that's hard to find, again, in a Bruce Arians scheme. So for the purposes of 2020, it's just one of those scenarios where, look, if Brady goes down, if it's for more than a week or two, the team's screwed anyways. But there's a lot of teams in the league that if their starting quarterback goes down, they're in trouble, especially if it's an extended period of time. I can live and die on that. I'm comfortable with that because nobody goes into the year planning on that guy going down. I'm okay with Gabbert, at least for 2020.
Yeah, and to be fair, I would absolutely agree with you. And I know that this is something that I've taken a lot of heat over. Even this time last year, as soon as Blaine Gabbert was signed, I was like, actually, I'm happy with that. Yeah. People forget that Blaine Gabbert was a first-round pick. Yep. He did well in a bad situation. He hasn't done terribly when he's had to do things in small chunks. When you've asked him to lead a team and be the guy, then maybe that is too much for him. But we're talking about a guy here who's shown through high school, through college, and even in the NFL that he has got talent. He's got talent in, like, between his ears, and he's got talent in his arm. He knows how to manage an offense, and that's exactly what he'll be asked to do. So, you know, I completely agree with you there, Zach. I fully agree that Gabbert is the best choice. Now, one question that I do have for you here is, now we're getting this from everybody, and my man over here is definitely keeping a tally of them. This is going to appear toward the end of the season, and we'll see who's right. So, Zach Blobner, WDA, what is your way to early season prediction?
I mean, I like the Bucs, you know, to get into the playoffs, right? I believe that the added wild card seed starts this season, so there's extra room to sneak in. I'm hard pressed to pick them over the Saints, not because I don't think that they'll be better than New Orleans by the end of the year. I just think New Orleans, you know, Drew Brees knows everybody on that team with the exception of Emmanuel Sanders, and he can plug and play him at wide receiver. Brady is going to have to learn that offense, get used to clicking with those players. So it's hard for me to say that the Bucs are in a prime time position to win the NFC South. They can certainly compete for it, and they'll certainly, you know, in my opinion, get to those double-digit wins, assuming Brady stays healthy. In that case, they'll make the playoffs, and you feel good about them making the playoffs if you have a guy like the GOAT, TB12, behind your line. I mean, wins or losses, I think I picked them around 10. If you had to nail me down to a number, you know, but when you pick a game, you pick a number like that, you assume one less or one more is plausible too, right? So I'll say 9 to 11 wins, leaning towards the upper side, and that gets them in.
But
yeah, I'm 16 and 0, by the way. 16. No, I'm getting no, a little bit.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
But you know what, Zach, I'm going to hold you in the middle. I'm going to be a good guy. I'm going to say your prediction's 10-6.
An upgrade. That's good. Look, we've been through a lot of bad football. I mean, I'll take a double-digit win season in a playoff berth. And everybody wants to win with Brady, but, like, let's start there. And once you're in the dance, look, come to me week one of the playoffs, and I will be like, Super Bowl, let's go. But, like, let's just get there, and then I'll save that extra excitement.
Yeah, let's get in. Let's get in. But, like, Zach, you know, just from myself, because obviously I know that you've only got a little bit of time with us before you've got to go for your beauty sleep before the stupid watch show.
Wow. No. I didn't insult him. See, I listen to your show. I love
it. Yeah, I see you, man.
Keep the clips coming, Zach. Keep the clips coming.
I don't shine shoes anymore, bro. No, I don't shine shoes anymore.
Get out of here. Go ahead. Sorry, we had a moment. I don't know what
happened. Yeah, great having you.
Yeah, man. Well, all right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for Zach. Zach,
he's breaking out with us. Are you breaking up with me?
I am breaking up with you, apparently. Zach Baumann from WDAE, thank you, sir, for joining us for a few moments. And go ahead. If there's anything you want to plug, now's the time to do it. So go ahead. Floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, man, let's have a good season. I mean, you know, I think the Bucs fans have been divided as much as any fan base over the past few seasons, you know, because of personnel changes and people in certain roster slots, coaching decisions. You know, let's take a year, at least heading into the season, to all get on the same page and support this team. You can catch me again mornings with Ronnie and T-Crass, WDAE, 95.3 WDAE, 6 to 9, Monday through Friday. You can catch me on Twitter, Instagram, at Zach on the mic, easy to find me there. And then you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm doing actually afternoons in Orlando now. We syndicate in Jacksonville, Miami, but for the sake of that show, 96.9 The Game, it's from 5 to 6 every weekday afternoon, and we encompass everything in the state. So we get the Tampa Bay Bucks stuff, but we also talk Dolphins, Jags, Gators, Noles, UCF, anything we can get in that's in the state, we chat about. So it's a lot of fun, but I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a good time.
That's great, man. Well, thank you for joining us. And Scott Bradford about the Dolphins said Miami's already been doing the empty seat thing, so they're good to go.
Now that you insulted him a little bit on that,
Come on, get out of here. Anyway, all right, man. Well, thank you, Zach, and appreciate you, buddy. And you enjoy your evening. All right.
Cheers. Have a good night, guys.
All right, buddy. What a good guy, man. Zach's awesome.
Yeah, I love, like, some of the guests, like, we're getting on the show. I love some of the guys that we've got lined up as well.
Yeah.
And it's like,
some of the guests we got lined up. Tell them about it.
Oh, some of the guests that we've got lined up. We've got Al Gore, Joe Pesci. Oh, wait, no, sorry. No, I mean, we've got, like, just tonight we've got, obviously, we've got Greg Allman, formerly of the Tampa Bay Times, now of The Athletic, who's hopefully joining us this evening. Really, really interesting to talk to him. Guys, if you have your questions, obviously, hashtag Ask Greg, and then we will get those questions to him. Call in. There's a little number that's running along the bottom of your screen right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, be our first, because we really should have thought of something, shouldn't we, to say, hey, our first caller, like, wins a prize or something. We should have thought that.
No. The first caller wins an opportunity to be on the best Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast around. And speaking of that, we are now going to bring in our other special guest from The Athletic, Mr. Greg Allman. Greg, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, man, we're hanging in there. And obviously, Greg is big into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man. We love it. And it's awesome. And it's so good to have you with us. And
I'm loving that. creamsicle that you're rocking there, Greg.
Oh, thank you. This hair.
I'm loving the creamsicle that you've got going on.
Here, this is like a Western Canada shirt, but no, it looks like creamsicle. I guess if you get cropped high, it looks like I'm rocking the creamsicle.
You are cropped high at the moment. So yeah, Greg, great to see you. Obviously, I know that we've had quite a bit of back and forth over on Twitter. A lot of respect for you, man. Obviously, a lot of respect for what you do. One thing, obviously, your profile says that you were with the Tampa Bay Times for 19 years before moving on to The Athletic. One of the things that I wanted to sort of talk to you about is, how did it all get started? How did you get to be sort of from Greg Almond, everyday man, to Greg Almond, the reporter for the Tampa Bay Bucs, and eventually working at the Tampa Bay Times?
Yeah, a long way to get there. Started writing, wrote when I was in high school. Worked as a clerk at the Raleigh News and Observer, went to high school in North Carolina. So the Raleigh papers, the News and Observer, and got my start there. Wrote all through college, went to the University of Florida, was fortunate enough to cover the 3 years I covered football there were three SEC titles and a national championship, 94 to 96. I didn't go straight to the Times. I worked at what was CNN Sports Illustrated when they launched in 1997. Was their NFL producer my last year there, and then went to the Times. I'd been kind of a correspondent for the Times in college, and so started at the Times in 1999 and was there, like you said, was there 19 years, did 5 years covering high schools in Hernando and Pasco counties, and then covered USF, covered the Bulls for 9 years, and then started covering the Bucks full-time in 2013. And all Bucks fans.
I mean, that's sort of quite the career like you've sort of developed in that time. Are there any sort of special memories or sort of like favorite moments that you've lived through them, and then you've sat back afterwards and thought to yourself, you know, damn, I'm glad I do this. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of those all the time. I got really lucky in that I was fairly early on at the time. I was still covering high schools. And one of our NFL writers left in 2002. So I got to fill in and step into our Bucks coverage for basically the best month of the team's history. So, I mean, I covered the playoff game here. I covered the playoff game in Philadelphia for the NFC Championship game, the Rondae Barber interception going to the Super Bowl game, and then spent a week in San Diego, which was awesome. I got to cover the Super Bowl and write off that, which is a great experience. And, you know, wasn't able to cover the Bucks full time from there, but got the chance to do it later on. So no, to be able to do that was awesome, especially at a relatively young age, relatively new at the newspaper. Just kind of fell into that, and it was great to be a part of that. To see the franchise now, it's neat to know you were there for, you know, really the best moments in the team's history.
Yeah, I mean, definitely you are. I think a lot of people who like listening and watching, because obviously this will be recorded, people are going to listen to this afterwards, are going to be listening to this thinking, you know what, Greg is living the dream of a lot of fans out there. Obviously, like, being paid, actually sent to the Super Bowl to like report on one of the greatest moments in the franchise's history. Obviously quite a storied career with the Tampa Bay Times. You've sort of covered a lot of different things with like high school, the colleges, and ultimately with the Bucks. Then recently you moved on to the Athletic. Has that sort of opened you up to the pulse of other NFL teams and the sort of the chatter around the league, so it's not so much book centric?
Yeah, definitely. I it's neat. I mean, one of the best things about working for the Athletic, I really enjoy the time I had at the Times, but obviously everything is very local focused and Bucks Tampa Bay focused. And the neatest thing about being at the Athletic is the idea that you're part of a larger team. We got like 300 writers. It's amazing. Yeah. There's probably 55, 60 NFL writers, people on every team, two on some teams. So we have people covering every team in the league every day. So it's really amazing. And that you'll hear about somebody come up, or the Bucks will sign someone who played, Joe Haig played in Indianapolis the last couple of years. And right away, wherein before, I mean, when you're a newspaper reporter, you might have friends and colleagues that work for other papers, mm-hmm. where you know people all over the league. But to have a colleague at the Athletic, for every team I can call, it's great. You can get the lowdown on who he is, what he's like. I can get a phone number, I can get an agent's number. So I think there's this immediate network that's just constantly available to you. You'll hear, you know, the Bucks might be involved in somebody, and you'll be able to talk to my equivalent for another team and get like, that guy's probably not leaving. They're going to re-sign him. you feel like you have intel on every team in the league. So it's really neat that way in terms of having a an immediate kind of way of knowing about all teams in the league. Being part of a network and being part of the great team we have covering the NFL for the Athletic is a great perk of the job for this new job for me.
So we're talking again on Set the Sails podcast right now. We're talking to Greg Allman from the Athletic. Greg, we got a couple questions for you from the audience listening. We did a hashtag Ask Greg. First one comes from Dean Jensen, who you might know, maybe.
Yes. Or at least you might know his son.
You might know his son. I know Dean too,
though. Big fella, shock of red hair.
Yeah.
Does a cooking show, which, by the way, was awesome today. That was amazing today. He asked, what was the toughest and most controversial story you've had to cover?
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, I want to mention Ryan Jensen. Just, again, his Twitter feed, if you don't follow it, has a ridiculous level of meat every time he posts anywhere. My brother's much the same way. My brother's got a smoker and is constantly, like, Facebooking pictures. And the food is never anywhere near where I am. So it'd be much cooler if I was in the same city as my brother. But no, Ryan Jensen, like I said, the cooking show today, it's like if he wants to do this after football, he's got a future in it because he's a natural and he knows what he's talking about and it looks good. So, yeah. But toughest story I've had to cover. I mean, there's a lot of things that have been divisive. You know, when I covered USF, I mean, there's hard things. I mean, there was a player who died at USF in 2006 when I covered the Bulls. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard. I mean, to have somebody who just died out of nowhere in an offseason conditioning work at 19 years old. Was really tough. I mean, those are things. Anytime you have somebody you cover, there's somebody who's in your phone who is suddenly dead out of nowhere and is gone just like that. You feel terrible for all the family, all the friends you deal with. Those are always the hardest stories to write. In terms of controversial, you know, obviously a lot of the things that happened with Jameis Winston were divisive and polarizing, and you had to be very careful how you wrote it. When he got suspended a couple of years ago, that was always something you just had to be more careful to write about. I don't think it was anything that was that hard. It was probably more complicated than most quarterbacks would be to cover. But, I mean, what we had with Jameis while he was with the Bucs was, for the most part, pretty straightforward. So I wouldn't say that. So there's not – I mean, I've covered – you know, I mean, these days, if you're a sports writer, covering the games and covering what happens, like, between the hash marks is just a small part of the job. So, I mean, you have to be ready to cover courts and cops and the finances of cap and stuff like that. So there's lots of things that aren't – just football and aren't just here's the final score, who's who won, here's who lost. But I think, you know, nowadays if you get into sports writing, you kind of know that's part of the job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one question that I've got for you, Greg, sort of
sure.
off the back of Dean's question. This is something that I've experienced. I know James has experienced this as well. Have you ever sort of like written an article and as you've gone to press publish, you just know that you've got a whole lot of flames and fire coming your way because you've written about something that you know is a controversial opinion or you know is something that is divisive, for example, Jameis Winston or something like that. Have you sort of ever had an article like that where you've gone to publish and thought, maybe I shouldn't?
Yeah, no, I mean, for the most part, I mean, there's a lot of conversations that go on before a story is ever published. So that's the kind of thing where, you know, we always talk about the decision to report something and the decision to write something are two different conversations. So there's a lot of times you'll start to think maybe you're writing something and then you decide and you talk to, I've got two great editors that I work with all the time that are an awesome sounding board where it's like, you can say like, I don't know if this is a story or not. And sometimes it's like, you're not sure whether you have something firm enough to write it. And there's other times where like, I'm not sure this is a story or not. Like this is something that's questionable and how newsworthy it is. And there's a lot of stories we just don't write. I mean, like you start writing it and you go into it and it's like, yeah, I think we just have to shelve this story. I don't think this is worth writing. I don't think it's worth the trouble. So it's really cool in that you do a lot of those things kind of before you hit send. So there's certainly been some that have been controversial. I think the nature of covering a team, anytime you cover a team, as long as I have, there's going to be things that pop up. But there's nothing I'd point to where I said like, wow, I wish I hadn't written this or anything like that. There was a story. I mean, you guys know this. There was a story. This is like 4 years ago where Jameis Winston was talking at elementary school and he had made the comment where I forget the exact language. I don't want to quote directly, but he had kind of said something to the extent of telling the girls that they should be quiet and be passive compared to the boys. And it was something where I actually didn't even write the story that day. I had covered it live. And sorry, you hear barking my dogs in the background and just he ruined a call with Rob Gronkowski, or she did. She ruined a call with Gronkowski like 3 weeks ago. So the dog has like a reputation as just hijacking podcasts and live interviews. So I apologize. My wife and kids are out front. And anytime my wife and kids are outside, the dog is trapped inside. The dog doesn't care that she's inside with me. She just wants to be outside with my family. So anyway, but all you're saying, I ended up not even writing something that time. But what I had gotten from that story went to someone else that wrote the story. It obviously became a pretty big controversy. But again, there's lots of editors and lots of other writers you're talking with throughout that process. So it's something where there are some things, you know, are going to be divisive, but if you're not sure it's a story, you're probably not writing it in the first place.
Yeah. And you know, it's actually really, really interesting to sort of learn about the process that you go through. I mean, yeah, everybody's different, but I think for a lot of fans, and you have quite a number of followers, and it's really interesting to sort of see like the process you go through, because I think for a lot of those fans, they just picture like Graham and just bashing away at his keyboard all day,
right?
And just like stories throwing out left, right, and center. And as I said when you came on, I think one of the great like things with you, Greg, is you'll actually debate with fans.
I am.
You'll actually discuss, because I know we've had disagreements over time, and. Right. One of the things, and I've said this to James when he said, "Oh, we've got Greg Allen on a show." I was like, "Brilliant." He's like, "Are you going to play nice?" And I'm like, "Of course I'm going to play nice. I've got a lot of respect for Greg. And I know that we've disagreed. And I know that you've disagreed with me. And I've turned around and gone, actually, you know what, Greg? I'm in the wrong. You're right. And I know there's times where I've turned around and gone, no, I'm sticking by it."
Right.
But There's been times when you've turned around that I've seen, not directly with me, I don't actually have that particular victory just yet.
I feel like that's going to be a hard victory to get, and that's okay. You know, we're okay with that.
You know, if I climb to the top of that mountain, I'll be happy. But you've spoke with people online and you've said, actually, I didn't look at it from that point of view.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. And it's great to see someone who interacts with people who isn't like, no, this is my word. This is how it is. Right. And, you know, I just wanted to sort of like throw that little bit of like fanboyism in there.
Twitter, I'm probably more interactive on Twitter than most writers are. And it's kind of a delicate thing to do, because you can, again, there's like you're getting into arguments with people that you don't really want to be arguing about. But I think a lot of times it's, for me, it's a great resource. And for me to have all these people that are asking questions and unsure of things. It's really cool, because you're constantly aware of what fans are wondering about, what fans' concerns are about the team. It really helps me a lot. I mean, it's kind of like if you always had a focus group to tell you like, oh, I like that story, or I really didn't like that story, or I wondered about this. And I always feel like it kind of just is a natural extension of your curiosity. So it's like you'll write something and it's like, yeah, well, what about this? Where does he rank in this? So it's really easy. If someone asks a question about, you know, where this is back when Winston was scoring, you'd say, well, where does Winston rank in terms of this? And you go and look it up, and it's actually a pretty good story to that. Or you might not have thought of a specific angle. So like I said, there's certainly some interaction you'd probably rather not have with fans. But like a huge majority, there's writers that, you know, don't want to interact, that don't want to deal with people. And I totally get that, because it can be a headache at times. But especially in terms of like explaining things that are complicated or, you know, say controversial, but just not easy to understand why something is happening. That's a great part of my job, because if I can explain it to somebody else, I know that I understand it better myself. So it just kind of helps know what people are wondering about and then make sure you have a good understanding of it. And like you said, you'll have people that disagree with you. And it's not like every time they're completely wrong. There's time, well, that's a good point, and I probably should mention that as well, or that's another side of this that we should make sure we include when we write it. Because, I mean, you'll think out stories a lot of times online, and you'll be doing the research for a story, and you'll kind of think about something. You'll say, hey, by the way, this is the first time this happened since 1994 and all that kind of stuff. And you'll have some things that don't resonate with people at all, and there's others where you can see, wow, there's a lot of interest in this story. I definitely should invest more time in this and why it's happened and what the Bucks can do differently to make it happen in the future and that kind of stuff. So like I said, I really put a very high resource on the interactivity of being able to talk to readers and pick their brains all the time about what I'm writing about.
All right. Well, let's real quick, because I know we don't want to keep you too long, but we got some people that want to ask some questions here.
Sure.
This actually comes from John Wilson. John says, a lot is being said about the potential of the Bucks offense this season. What do you think about the potential of the defense this season? That's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the attention, especially in the last 2 months, has been on the offensive side. I mean, you had Tom Brady, you had Rob Gronkowski to an offense that was already fairly prolific, especially passing the ball. There's going to be a lot of excitement there. I think the natural drift, just because of fantasy football, is always to the offensive side of things. It's what people know. Nobody has, for the most part, nobody has Lavonte David or Shaq Barrett on their fantasy football team. You might have the Bucs defense if you're doing daily fantasy. Some people have that. But for most casual fantasy football teams, there's 10 people that have Mike Evans or Chris Godwin on their team for every one that is wondering about who the starting safety is going to be. But I will say it was really impressive even before Brady and Gronk came on how much confidence Bruce Arians had in the defensive side of this team. You know, I think they were such a different team at the end of hold on one second. I'll be right back. I'll do something. Hold on.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick break for Greg, and just to let you know, we are live, of course, on the Set the Sails podcast, which you're watching hopefully on Facebook, on Bucs Life Media, of course, on YouTube, on Set the Sails, on YouTube, on Twitter.
Have we actually got any like sort of viewers? Because I know that we've got a lot of people right now on Facebook.
Yeah, we actually have one right now. We have one right now that's watching on it. But anyway. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, sorry about that. I look up and I have like two pieces of toast that were in the toaster oven that were burning. So I'm like trying to get this done without the fire alarms going on in the middle of the live blog or chat here. So sorry about that. I literally had a fire starting in the background. It's like you think maybe the toaster oven you think has a timer on and you realize it doesn't. So there's like two pieces of toast that are just nuclear burnt in there. I'm sorry. We were talking about the defense, and I think that the defense changed so much because at the beginning of last year, it was not a good defense at all. And I think it was one of those things that changed as the year went on. And probably the biggest defense from the first half of last season and the second half was that young secondary coming together. You think about how bad they were and how hard things were. Even going to like the Seattle game, the Arizona game, if you want to take those out, you can. If the way that they found an identity on that side, I think the front side of the defense, the front seven was fine. And you look at what Shaq Barrett did, what Jason Pierre-Paul did when he came in. Those were – I'm going to have to go again. All right. Hold on, guys. Just a second. I don't want to have a fire in my kitchen.
You're all right. No, you know, no fire allowed.
Guys watching this, my co-host actually has a little bit of a history with witnessing fires on his broadcasts today, at least.
That's true.
Little story sort of behind the scenes. Obviously, we come together during the day. We'll call each other video call and things like that. And one of the times that Mr. Ludeman rang me was when I was cleaning my oven. And it looked like this thing was on fire. And, you know, all the windows open, doors, everything. It was. Sorry. And now Greg's got his toast on fire. Right, I don't think the toast is with me and Greg.
We're better now, but if the fire alarm goes off, it's going to be a bad thing. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I know.
On dinner before the live chat. Didn't do a good job with that. Sorry. Anyway, what else? Any other questions I can get before I set my house on fire?
Yeah, let me do this. Scott has this question. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I was going to sort of ask this. Obviously, the defense was great to see. I started supporting the team in the mid-90s, so defense was a big thing for me. But this offense looks like it is going to be something special. And I know Scott's asking this question. I know a lot of people have been asking this. But who do you feel is going to be the third receiver that steps up and sort of makes themselves counted?
I think it could be a different answer in November than it will be in September. The long-term answer is probably Tyler Johnson, this rookie receiver they got in the fifth round from Minnesota. I was cool. I got lucky and I covered the Outback Bowl, just helping out. Our Minnesota writer couldn't come down, and we had an Auburn writer there, but they asked if I could step in. And it lucked out for me. It was like the best return on investment you can imagine, and that the Bucs obviously got Antoine Winfield in the second round, and they got Tyler Johnson in the fifth round. So I had gone into that day doing a lot of research on Winfield and expecting to write him as somebody I thought was going to be playing in his last college game. And Tyler Johnson did so much in their win over Auburn that I ended up writing on him. He had like 204 yards, two touchdowns. The Bucs were watching that day, so they kind of got impressed the same way I did watching. So I think Tyler Johnson's the guy that steps in long term. I don't know if he's ready in week one to be the third receiver. I mean, they have Evans and Godwin as their top two, so there's not a huge need to have like a solid number three from the start. But I think he has more potential to step in and be an impact three, kind of like Perriman was in the second half of the season, than maybe Scotty Miller or Justin Watson. Those guys are probably still going to be four and five when they're all done this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you sort of covered what I was going to sort of back up with saying, how do you feel about Watson and Miller? Just one sort of quick opinion I want to get from you, Greg, just before your house disappears in front of us in a configuration of like fire and brimstone. Donny Pepin saying Murphy Bunting will get 6 interceptions and 3 for touchdowns this season. Now, obviously, that's sort of quite the prediction. But we did see with Murphy Bunting that he has got the potential to get in front of the ball, and we have seen what he can do with the ball in his hands. Do you see Sean Murphy Bunting having sort of a breakout season, or do you think he'll just sort of tick along and stay under the radar?
6 picks and 3 touchdowns would be a great year for him. I think the Bucs are really high on Sean Murphy Bunting, and the best way to explain that is just that they've done nothing to add to the cornerback position this offseason. So you think about what they could have done in free agency, what they could have done in the draft, and to stick with Dean and Davis on the outside and SMB in the slot, that's the single biggest vote of confidence you can have, is to not feel like you have to upgrade. They put so many draft picks into the secondary in the last couple of years. So to not do that, I think really speaks volume of how much confidence they have that those three can continue to improve and be one of the strengths of this team, kind of building off where they left off at the end of last year. Sean Murphy Bunting, a big part of that. You saw the pick 6 he had near his hometown in Detroit in a big win there. They have a lot of confidence in him, and if he can continue to grow, I think 6 picks would be a lot. 3 touchdowns, you really have to be in the right place at the right time to pull that off.
Yeah, I think he's definitely the skill for it. But whether or not he has the look, I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm going to hit you with one final question before I let you disappear, because it's come from Scott Bradford, who is famous for his distaste of kickers. If you haven't seen it, then it is something to behold.
It's funny.
Does Matt Gay become more consistent? I want Matt Gay on the show as well. I'm just going to say that now. Does Matt Gay become more consistent this year?
Sure. Again, it's another thing where the Bucs could have really addressed the position. Matt Gay didn't finish the year well last year. He had 5 misses in the last 3 games, had 3 misses against the Falcons in the last game, had a big part in why they didn't win a close game there. I point to the fact that they could have done something. They could have drafted a kicker. They could have gone out and got Steven Goskowski to be the next Patriot to come south of Tampa. And they really didn't. They added a kicker this past week named Elliott Fry. But he's more kind of competition for the sake of competition. He's never played in the NFL. He's less proven than Matt Gay is. It's cool. Matt Gay actually lives in my neighborhood, which is wild. We're like 2 blocks away from each other. So I saw him today. He's been in Utah, where his family is, where he's from, for most of the offseason. But today I was walking with my kids to get donuts this morning. And as I walked into the neighborhood, he walked past and kind of waved and did that kind of thing. And I saw the Utah plates and it was him. I think the team still has a lot of confidence in Matt Gay. The way the year finished wasn't a good thing for him in terms of showing what he can be. But I really think they like him for the same reasons they drafted him in the 5th round. And they feel like he's still developing. I think they think he'll be a more consistent kicker. You saw the leg. You saw the distance that he's good from. He struggled in one end zone in Raymond James Stadium. So if he can be as good at home as he was on the road, he's going to be one of the better kickers in the league. So I think that's a chance that they feel pretty good about trusting that he's going to take a step forward and be a better kicker in his second year.
All right, Greg. Greg Allman from The Athletic joining us, of course, and he's going to go ahead and get going. But before you do, is there anything you're working on, any projects you want to just give yourself some plug for a minute? The floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, nothing too much. It's like we had a couple, they call them blitz packages, where it's like everybody at The Athletic is kind of writing the same kind of story. So we did that today. We had a catching up with Cadillac Williams, who's now back at Auburn as a running backs coach there. So we talked to Caddy for that story. That just went up today. We're doing a Hall of Fame snub series that goes out Wednesday. And obviously the Bucs have an easy one to write with Rondae Barber. So kind of made the case for why Rondae Barber deserves at least a longer look from the Hall of Fame selection committee, getting to the finalist level. Making a case for him having a really good resume that could get him to Canton with Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp. So that's what we're working on. It's all at theathletic.com, and you guys can follow me as always on Twitter at my name, just Greg Allman, GREGAUMAN. Thanks a lot for having me on. Sorry again about the random toaster fire in the background.
What makes the show what it is.
Focus clear. My wife kind of came in with like the
What are you doing? Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, just, you know, talking to guys and burning down the house. Anyway, thanks again, guys, for having me on. Enjoyed it. And we'll have to do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you, buddy. And, you know what, Greg Almond. Man, what a good guy. Another good guy, man.
Yeah, we have the best people. Well, we have do. Most of the best people.
We have literally the best people ever.
The best people ever. Like great.
By the
great
way, guy. Can we give a shout out just for a second? Because Shooter in the Stash commented.
Our first ever YouTube comment.
Yeah, right there. There it is.
You see so, that? You see that right down there? It's like it's. Oh wait. It's down there in the corner.
Like right down.
It's
here,
a little lower. Right. It's their channel has commented on ours and the little YouTube, which is amazing. We actually have our first. We still haven't had our first caller though. I mean, someone
well,
in the
we've
got to.
Yeah, I think somebody tried to call us about some pizza delivery. But anyway, if you want to call in, the phone number is right there at the bottom, 727-300-5904. You can call us. If you want to call right now, go ahead and do that. Feel free to chime in if you'd like and talk about anything, maybe something Zach talked about or maybe something or something that Greg talked about. I will say one thing that I'm interested to hear, and I'll ask you guys this question if you want to comment below. Of course, always like, share, and subscribe. But if you want to comment on this, James, we talked about this a little bit before about the fans. And we did a poll today, actually yesterday on our Twitter page, about if you're the NFL, do you have a season with no fans and just continue on as business as usual? Or are the fans just too important to miss? And I feel like, in some stadiums, depending on where you're located, you answer that question differently than others, I feel like.
Yeah, and there are so many different arguments to this. I don't think that anybody can sort of turn around and say, actually, yeah, guys in the comments, if somebody wants to send me a pizza, I will happily accept it.
Yeah,
I
mean, for real.
I've already had pizza today, but you know what? Like, hashtag always more room for pizza. But regarding the fans, I think there's so many different arguments that are right. I don't think anyone can sort of claim that they have the right answer to this. So, personally, from my point of view here is, yes, you can play football without fans. I mean, I've played American football in the United Kingdom when the sort of the only fans were people who were walking around and went, oh, hey, there's an American football game over there. Literally, the most people I ever played in front of, I think, was 500 people. And that was like a huge crowd for us. So can football be played without fans? Absolutely.
Is All right, it well, it seems like – hang on 1 second, James. I don't mean to cut you off. We got a caller here. Our first call to the show from the 813. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Shooter! It's Shooter from Shooter in the Stash. That's awesome. Good stuff. Can you hear James? Okay, James, say hi to Shooter.
Hi, Shooter. How are you doing?
Can you hear? And you can't hear him. All right. Well, maybe I'll just have to translate this. You see, this is the beauty of live TV. You know, we practice this before the show, and then during the show, it of course decides to not work. It's fantastic. But anyway, So Shooter, let me ask you this since you're on with us real quick, and I guess I'll translate your answer for you real quick. Just one quick thing. Shooter and Stash, obviously, if you've seen their videos, if you've watched them, you know how hilarious they are. I have laughed 1,000 yeah. times at several videos in my life. So tell me, I saw you guys are talking about doing some Lightning stuff, but is there any Bucks video you guys are working on right now?
So to the people watching, we are aware that you guys aren't getting sound. My glorious co-host, James Liederman, is going to be the translator for this section of the show.
All right. Sorry, he's so talking, James, you're talking. This is awesome. The beauty once again of live TV. This is fantastic. Okay. Well, here we go. What we may have to do is try recalling, and we're going to try this again. We're going to try again one more time. Try recalling. We'll try again. All right. Okay. Bye. Dude, I'm telling you, I promise you all, this was working before
this
the
was working. This was working. This God. Is one of the things that we tested, and this was yes. working.
Anyway, this is the first. Yeah. Look, Disney, listen, when Disneyland first opened, none of the rides worked. All right. And that's a true story. You can look it up. All right. He's calling again. Let me see. Okay. Try this again. Can you hear him? All right, go ahead and talk, Shooter.
Have you put him on speakerphone?
You know what? Let me try this. Try this again. All right, go ahead. One more time.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear him now? There we go. Yay!
Yeah, now we got it going. Yeah, so you guys are only on episode 3. You're starting to figure this stuff out. And you know what? You'll think you have it down. And then, like, next episode, you'll go live, and, like, nothing will work. But, you know, welcome to the world of live podcasting, live streaming. That's why we barely ever do it. We record all our crap.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, Shooter's joining us from Shooter and the Stash. You can find them, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, a bunch of other YouTube. Different places, YouTube as well. But, Shooter, I asked you before, we got kind of confused there for a second with the audio. Tell us, is there anything you guys are working on, whether it's Bucks or maybe other sports right now, that you can kind of fill us in on?
We are working on something for the Lightning. I'll give you one hint and it will give it away completely, but I haven't really told anyone yet. Gun talk. So if you follow the Lightning, you know what that is. And then for the Bucks, we did the Brady thing for April Fool's Day. And then we got Brady, we got Gronk. So we still have to get Gronk in animation. So I don't know yet. We've got some ideas like floating around for just the Bucks offseason and like everything that's happened with the draft and everything. And like there's so much news and like the stories kind of write themselves with Brady just like walking into someone's house, Brady getting, you know, almost in trouble with the park, all the different things that are happening. But we haven't really kind of come up with like the good punchy video like yet for the Bucks off season. So I think we're gonna kind of take it slow and then maybe come out with something right as training camp starts, whatever that may be. So easy on the Bucks stuff for now. We gotta have a little bit of an off season here. But yeah, which we're gonna come back strong with something with all these new characters. You know, we really like Jameis Winston, even though he was kind of the butt of the joke. Of a lot of our stuff because it was just so easy to do with him. But he was like our main character. He was like the guy that was pretty much in all the videos. So we really got blessed when we got Brady because, you know, it's Tom Brady, right? Like you couldn't ask for a better, like, you know, new character to come in. And then he brings Gronk with him. So we're just trying to figure out a way to not like screw it up and make it so you guys like it. Because, you know, we've always been about like the comic relief of being a Tampa Bay sports fan. Because usually, you know, our teams aren't that good. The Bucks haven't been good in, you know, 15 years, it seems like. So we try to kind of offset that with some nice jokes. But we want to go over the competition. We want to go really go after, like, the Saints and the Falcons and Carolina this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we're talking to Shooter from Shooter and the Stash. Again, you can find them online and on YouTube, Facebook, doing funny videos. Let me ask you, because obviously, you know, with doing these type of comedy videos and parody videos and things like that, obviously it's a lot of fun. But I know a certain host that has been not asked to help yet. And I know his name. Maybe James Ludeman, possibly from Set the Sales podcast. I've heard he's a great voiceover.
This is an unconfirmed rumor. This is unconfirmed.
Sources say he's interested.
Well, I will put you on the short list, but, you know, I am known to be very difficult to work with. And, you know, the Stash.
It's true. He's horrible. I'm kidding, dude. I'm kidding.
Voices, if anyone's got some great ideas, sometimes I will go live or put out a post on our Facebook, just kind of asking for some ideas on, you know, hey, what should we do next? And some of those actually will turn into videos. Like one of the videos that we did at the end of last year was for Stamkos, it was a hockey video about Stammer Claws. And I asked about, like, what people would expect to find in the bottom of the bay. So at the end of that video, Alexander Ovechkin, who plays Grinch, gets knocked into the bay. And I had, like, probably about 5 to 8 different, like, things that people commented. So if you ever see me comment or put something out there asking, like, hey, what do you want to see in a video? Or, like, what would happen if somebody did this? Like, all the information you give me, or at least if you give me something good, is going to show up in a video.
Yeah. Do you think maybe you could add, like, things that you'd find at the bottom of the bay, Carol Baskin's husband?
Oh, yeah. Well, that video came out, like, 2 months too early. Like, stuff like Levante David's Pro Bowl vote.
Invitation, yeah.
Those at the bottom. I'll have to pull up the picture, because we do have, like, our videos are all short. So, like, when we show something like that, it's like a 5-second deal. So a lot of people going to catch it because, A, that one's at the end of the video, and barely any people get to the end of the video. But I'll have to start putting the screenshots up. I do it on Twitter every once in a while, but it's funny. I actually put probably a little bit more of those Easter egg information on my Instagram for whatever reason, just probably because I have the pictures in my phone roll.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that post actually from Twitter. And when you were asking about, think, what would you find, like, people had thrown, like, off the skyway and things like that. And some of the posts that people were coming up with were absolutely hilarious. So, you know what, bit of a free plug. But if you haven't, like, checked out Shooter in the Stash, then you are missing out. It's brilliant. And they're not really, really long episodes. They're, like, short little cartoons. They cover everything from Florida Man to the Lightning, to the books. There's even been, like, poking fun at the Rays in there. It's really, really funny. If you haven't checked it out, then go and check it out.
Absolutely. Well, Shooter, one quick question for you real quick, and then we're going to let you go here. Question for you is this. We've asked every guest that we've had so far what their way too early season prediction is. So we're going to ask you, because you're our first ever caller on the show, what is your way too early season prediction for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I think they're going to make the playoffs. I looked at the schedule and I saw what should be 10-6. It could be better than 10-6. So I guess we'll see what happens. But I think they'll make the playoffs at least 10-6. I think it'd be a stretch for them to get to the Super Bowl just based off of, you know, we've got some guys that have come in that have playoff experience, but I do think it is really important to have those guys that do have the playoff experience. And, you know, most of this roster hasn't had that playoff game yet. So I think it'd be a stretch to say that, you know, we win a few games and get in the Super Bowl, but I will be thrilled if we do.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for Shooter. Shooter, real quick before you go, also, go ahead and plug what you got going on as far as where people can find you, websites, things like that. Go ahead. Floor is yours, buddy.
Yeah, probably the best place is Twitter. That's like my favorite social media. So that's where I'm at most of the time. So at Shooty Shoots, SHOOTY SHOOTS. Also my name on Xbox, Instagram, and pretty much everywhere you go, I own Shooty Shoots.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Shooter, for joining us and being the first ever caller on the Set the Sails podcast. We appreciate you, buddy.
That's awesome. Thank you, guys, and good luck with the show and everything. I can't wait to catch up. I got to watch the first few episodes still, but it's going to be great to see what you guys can do. Always up for more Bucks coverage and stuff like that. So keep doing what you guys are doing, and all the technical issues will solve themselves by episode 5.
Well, that's a bold prediction. I think we need to take out the 10-6, and we need to put that as the Shooter in the Stash's bold prediction.
On the technical glitches on our show, I think right now we're at like 5. So
yeah.
Yeah,
But 10-6 seems to be a popular prediction.
Thanks, Shooter.
All right, thanks, guys.
Well, once I realized, you know, to take the, you know, because I use for guests and stuff. Little insider tip for you: I use my Apple AirPods, and it helps me to hear and talk. Well, I realized when I have my AirPods in, you guys can't hear what's on the other end. So there you go. But anyway, that's how that works. So Dean Jensen says 11-5. I agree with you. I think it's somewhere in that neighborhood as well. Well, that is going to do it for us here in episode 3. My wife, in case you can't hear the dinging, is texting me saying my time is up, apparently, because Mother's Day ended yesterday, but apparently it's still today as well. It's every day. Love your moms every day. Happy Mother's Day to those of you that watched your wives and things like that. Happy Mother's Day to you all. James, any closing thoughts from you, my friend?
I think we better wrap this up whilst you're still alive, brother.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, as always, a great show. And we couldn't do this sort of like without the guests. So massive thank you to all the guests. Huge, huge respect for like some of these people coming in and speaking to us, answering your questions as well. Because frankly, you guys in like the guests, we know who you are. We see you week in, week out. And it's brilliant to see you guys supporting the show, helping it grow. As Donnie says, hashtag grow the show. And that's what it is about. I mean, we're at episode 3 here, and we're already starting to get such a great following. You guys go and spread the message. Dean, I definitely want to speak to you more about that, knowing the people who set up like the lesson plans for the Disney rides. That just seems like something really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more of an off-air thing, unless you guys want to talk about it. I mean, I had Dean on one of my shows a while ago, actually. Really, really good guy. Now, with you know, as Donnie says there, grow the show and go books. We can't do this, and we wouldn't do this without you guys at all. You enable us. You are a bunch of enablers, you people.
You people.
And you know what? We love you for it. We absolutely love you for it. So, guys, thank you very much, John. Go out, spread the message, grow the show. Because the more people that come into it, the better the shows that we can do, the better like sponsorship deals we can get. And the better sponsorship deals means a better show for you guys. It also means better guests, potentially.
It also means less technical problems.
I'm myself
on that. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lifting the rug up and I'm kind of sweeping them. I think we did okay.
Yeah, we did. Sure.
I don't know if any British people are watching this. I hope so. It'd be nice if I can appeal to my country folk, because we have a huge Buccaneers following in the United Kingdom. So maybe like we can start sharing into some of the UK groups there. Paul Stewart, if you're watching, that'd be awesome. But yeah, there's a saying, it'll be all right on the night. And that just sums up live broadcasting perfectly. Yep. But guys, thank you very much once again for being here with us throughout this. James, take it away, my man.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank our guests. First of all, Zach Blomner from WDAE for joining us. Thank you, Greg Allman from The Athletic for joining us, even though you almost burned your toast and house down. So thank you for joining us for that. Of course, Shooter and the Stash for joining us as well. Thank you, Shooter, for calling in live tonight. Also want to give a quick heads up for next Monday night. Next Monday night, we are actually going to have two more guests joining us. One of those is the host of Cannon Fire Podcast, who is another good friend of the show, Mr. Rhett Matthew. And he'll be joining us. Good guy, good conversation with him. And then we'll also be joined by another very special guest, Al Keck, will be joining us next week as well to talk some Buccaneers. And that's going to be a really fun show as well, talking about Al Keck's a big guy in the Tampa Bay area, a lot of sports talk from him. So we'll talk about that as well. But thank you, all of our guests. Thank you all for watching, whether you've watched on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. You can find us at all three of those social medias, as well as Podbean. And, of course, on Bucks Life Media, as well as FanStreamSports.com. We are now on that website as well as of last week. And you can find our podcast on there as well under the Set the Sales tab. And don't forget to check out JP Peterson and his show as well, and the many other awesome shows that are on there Sports Caffeine is another one who's Donnie just said trivia. That's actually Sports Caffeine. They're going to be doing trivia on Sunday night. So if you don't like them, go and like them as well, because they got a lot of cool stuff going on over there. But make sure you like, share, and subscribe our podcast, as well as Bucks Life Media. And we will come at you next Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same channel. We'll have calls, guests, and thank you all so much for watching as we are gearing up for the 2020 NFL season coming right around the corner. And as always, as we end every show here, let's
go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Thank you very much, guys.